Yeah, didn't the guy cause you trouble? The other pimps?
For one thing, when you have $1,000 a week at your disposal, you don't have to worry about...
Okay.
Okay, well, all right. You don't have to worry about how dangerous things are. I also had a bodyguard I mentioned I came here with, Tom.
Oh, who's he?
Tom was my bodyguard. Tom was a guy I had met, I got to like, that needed a job. He did some yard work for me. And he needed a job. His wife was pregnant. He was only 17, 18 years old. He was 18, I think. He was a big guy, about 6 foot six, lanky and tough.
Did you get him when you started?
When I first started this, what had happened is I needed someone to do some yard work, and somebody said, I know a guy named Tom that needs a job. I'll send him over. I said, okay. Tom came over. I liked him. He was a nice kid. Him and his family were in a spot. I said, how'd you like a job full time? He said, doing what? I said, nothing. Just follow me around town. I said, you'll dress in the best clothes. You'll have everything you want. We'll get you a new car. I said, you just make sure you never leave my side. He said, okay. That sounds good. So that's the way we did it. I mean, I didn't have to worry about anybody picking on me. Tom was always there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was... Could you talk about what was... You said that you hung out mostly with other pimps. What was life among men, you know, these guys like?
Oh, terrible. Terrible. They were like a bunch of cat people. They were always at each other's throat. They were always ready to squeal on each other, stuff like that. See, I didn't hang around with them. I know of them. I didn't hang around with anyone. I never hang around with anyone. Mm. I'm a loner. I always have been. Mm-hmm. I like being alone. I need one person at a time. That's all I'm ever with, is one person at a time. I mean, I say hello to everybody, I'm friends with everybody, but I'm a loner.
Mm-hmm. So there's...
So I really didn't... I mean, you don't have time to hang around. I mean, you got... You just take one girl somewhere and, you know, you always got another girl to take out on a date or do things with. Or.
Oh, did you have other girlfriends who weren't
Of course.
Prostitutes for you?
Yeah.
Oh, during this period. Did the girls know?
No, they didn't know. I lived a completely different life aside from this. I had a job. I was going to school to become a minister.
Now, wait a second. How did you have time to do all this, and how did you keep these worlds separate?
It's hard. That's why I said I wasn't cut out for it. Mm-hmm. It'll kill you. Mm-hmm. I was grown old before my time.
What kind of job were you doing?
I was working for Goodwill Industries.
Mm-hmm. So, and you were going to school to be a minister?
I was going to school to become a Methodist minister.
Were you going to school as a man or a woman?
As a man.
As
they don't
man.
Have women Methodist ministers.
I didn't think so.
No, they don't have Methodist ministers that were women then.
Well, during this period then, were you in every aspect of your life passing as a man?
Yeah.
And so the women that you went out with who weren't hookers, were they straight women who thought you were a man?
There was this girl that worked where I worked that, see, the Goodwill Industries in Pittsburgh was run by a guy named Reverend Lefferl, who was a Methodist minister. It's run by the Methodist United Organization. And I wanted a little cut of that business. I wanted to get in. And when the switchboard operator, Rita, got to like me, he thought I was such a decent type, and also he kept inviting me over his house for dinner with him and his wife. I couldn't bring one of these whores with me. I mean, I needed someone sweet like Rita.
Uh-huh.
So I started dating her. And he thought it was such a good idea that I didn't want to, I mean, you know, I didn't want to get into any kind of mess with him. You know, he was always saying how you and Rita getting along. Rita's family thought we'd get married. Rita thought we'd get married. Reverend Loughborough thought we'd get married.
Rita's family thought you were a man.
Yeah.
And Rita thought you were a man.
Yeah.
How can you be close to someone and then not discover?
Well, it was easy. Whenever I used to date Rita, I always wore suits, suit jackets, vests.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it was easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you take your clothes off with someone, it's pretty hard for them to discover. We necked a lot. I mean, you know, a couple of times it got to me. It's hard not to. Mm-hmm. But she was a good girl that wouldn't do anything had I approached her with it. She would wait until we got married. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact I knew better than to approach her with it because I needed her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't after her body. I was, you know, was after her good reputation. I needed it.
Uh-huh. Huh. And so was the fact that you were going to school to be a minister and working, did the girls who were hookers for you, did they know that?
No. They just knew I was doing business.
Oh, I see.
So, uh-huh. They just knew I was taking care of business. You always make believe you're a big businessman with these hookers. I mean, they give you the money. It's got to be going somewhere. Uh-huh. And it really is. You're turning it into more money. Mm-hmm. Except me, I'm a miser. I was saving mine. I saved mine to buy a house.
How much did you save in a year?
One year I was able to save almost $10,000. I wanted to buy this castle that was $30,000 at the time. Mm. That's a lot of money at the time. That's equal to about 75 or 100,000 now in 1963.
Right. And what was your end of it? You had to take the girls and pick them up. What else did you have to do?
I lived with them. I mean, each had an apartment. Their own apartment.
Well,
I had to make believe I was there all the time.
How much time did you spend with them?
Weekends.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of
see, it was easy for me. I only had like one on the way in, one on the way out.
Oh,
so it was rather easy for me. Like Tex had four and five at a time. Jesus Christ, I'm surprised Tex is still alive today. Oh, I mean, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had one main girl. Mm-hmm. She had one main girl. One that really meant something to her. But the rest were just losing money.
And is this whole operation, would you say that it's basically based on the fact that the girls believe you're in love with them?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think inside their souls, they know better, but they want to believe that you're in love with them. They want to believe somebody loves them.
Mm-hmm. And it was this raid that made you end
this?
Yeah, it was
this raid that made me come back here, because I knew that they didn't want the prostitutes. What they wanted was the pimps. And I knew that they'd offer this Charlotte a good deal. And I was afraid she'd crack.
Do you think there's anything that we should know about anything else about the pimping ends or with the guys or anything like that that it's important for us to know that I haven't asked?
No, except I think it makes more lesbians than just about any other profession in life. Mm-hmm. More lesbians are hookers. No, more hookers are lesbians than any other profession has. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not when they start out, they're just so tired of the look of a man. That's all they see is dollar signs. That for real love, for real emotion, they eventually turn to other women. See, that is one of the main... That is one of the main problems that men had with putting their women in houses, was that the women would be close together all the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them fell for each other. Mm-hmm. And took off on the pimps. See, we never had that problem because Tex and I were girls. But a lot of the guys had that problem. Mm-hmm. That their girls would end up with other girls and take off.
Was there a mixture in kind of like street life of hookers and lesbians and gay people? Was that kind of more of a flavor than it is now?
Where they were all together and it didn't matter what you were? Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Especially in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a very wide open city. I mean, they don't distinguish. I mean, people are people. If you're out there in the bars, it doesn't matter who you're rubbing elbows with.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of drugs in this scene?
No. No, hardly any drugs at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say no drugs at all.
Huh.
I mean, Pittsburgh is not a city for that type of vice. Their biggest rackets are prostitution. It's their biggest. They have some of the state's most beautiful women. I mean, the women are just knockouts. Just knockouts, classy. Now, drugs, it doesn't play a big role. Yeah. It might now, it did, I mean, it did, there were drugs. I had a friend that OD'd that died. I mean, there were drugs, but it was mostly among the black. Drugs weren't a big thing in 1963. I mean, I never smoked my first joint until 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So if, I guess what I'm getting at is there was this mixture of kind of street life. It would be hookers and it would be gay people. And who else would be, it wouldn't be druggies.
No.
Oh, who else would be included in that, in the bars?
Hookers, gay people. A lot of street blacks. A lot of street blacks. You know, that just hung out, were in their own racket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were doing drugs. I don't know.
Gambling at all?
No, not too much gambling. Mm-hmm. None at all. A lot of show people. A lot of show people, like when I was in the rackets, I met the Platters, I met Zola Taylor.
Hmm.
I met a lot of strippers. Johnny Mathis. A lot of show people. See, when you got money, when you got $1,000 a week, let me tell you what you could do with it. I mean, you're not sitting at home, or you wouldn't be going down to Betsy's.
Right.
You'd be going to the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Better than that. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Athletic Club.
Could you have been a pimp, done what you did, and not have passed as a man, and done
no.
it? How come?
Because I just don't think you could have. Because in those days, there was a definite difference. If you were a butch, you were a man or a boy.
Hmm.
See, it was a whole different dress scene. Like nowadays, you go out, you put on a pair of dungarees and a sloppy old work shirt and no deodorant. I have noticed that. I've seen it on the streets. And those days, you didn't even go out to neighborhood bars dressed like that. When you went out, it was like if you were a butch, you were dressed up, and I mean dressed up, no dungarees, white shirt, tie, suit jacket.
Huh.
I mean, there was a definite role. Definite role.
Well, was there a difference between you and what you were doing and how you dressed and conducted yourself and a bar butch?
Yeah.
Now, what was that difference?
I was in drag. I lived in drag.
And what would a bar... What
and
would
I didn't
butch
hang around bars. So bar butches hung around bars. Bar butches would dress in a men's shirt with a vest and a pair of pants and loafers and short haircut with the white walls. But that would be it. It would still be a bar butch.
Uh-huh.
See? I mean, it couldn't get into a nightclub and pass. But the difference in me was I always wore suit jackets, ties, white shirts, diamonds. When I went out to dinner, it was a nightclub. It wasn't a restaurant. I mean, money talks.
So this is a period, during this period of your life, you were still consciously passing as a man, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there were a few things I wanted to ask about your relationship with Barbara. How did you first, I take it that you were the first woman she slept with. or is that right? How did you broach the whole thing of sexuality with somebody who was new, had never slept with a woman?
No different than any guy would. I mean, we kissed. I touched her, and they loved her. I knew what to do. I had been taught what to do years before. And I guess the first impression straight girls get, a lot of them have told me, is how the hell would you ever get off with a girl? There's no possible way to get off with a girl. I just can't imagine a hand doing anything for me. Well, it depends on the magic you got in those hands. Most guys use their hands because they know they can't keep anything else up long enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, more guys make love like women than women do. Honest to God. I mean, more guys use their mouth and hands and shit like that than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody does it normal anyway. I'm beginning to wonder.
So that wasn't, that's something, how long were you with her before you slept with her?
About 3 weeks.
Oh, that's a very short time.
Yeah, very short.
Mm-hmm. And did she, there's a saying that in the gay community that you can't, or at least that I've heard, that you can't, if you're somebody's first, it's not going to last.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. I think, I don't know. I think a lot of firsts last.
Had you ever heard that saying?
No. I could see the logic behind it. I understand the logic behind it, because whenever you learn a game, you like to play it with someone else just to find out how good you are at it. I mean, there's a whole world out there, and once you learn the ropes, you want to get out there and practice them. So I do understand the logic. As soon as two people make a discovery, they want to go out and test it on the world. So 9 chances out of 10, it won't last. But I don't believe it's necessarily in full truth that it won't. It can't last. I think it can.
Mm-hmm. Did Barbara ever work before she started hooking?
She used to work for Seneca Blueprinting on Delaware Avenue when she was here in Buffalo. She's a blueprint. She also worked a while for Arthur Murray's dance studio.
Was this while you were together?
Yeah. She, that's about it.
So when you were in Pittsburgh, the majority of the time, were you supporting her?
Yeah.
Let's see.
She paid me all back, though, in one lump sum.
Did you think that this was the way it should be, that you were supporting her?
Yeah. Yeah, like every other guy in the streets, I thought it was an insult to me if my woman had to work.
And what did she think about this?
I don't know. I never talked about it. She said she wanted to work. I would have, I don't know what I would have done, but I imagine we would have worked it out. Barbara was a very strong, dominant woman.
What kind of social life did you have?
A lot of nightclubs. Mm-hmm. A lot of nightclubs.
Were they gay clubs or no?
No.
So you had more or less a straight social life?
Yeah, I lived a very straight life. I had to. I had neighbors and landlords and business people to think about.
What? I don't know how to ask this, but was there strain or anxiety or whatnot that you had to cope with knowing that you were living a lie?
No.
How did you find the fortitude, to keep going, knowing that you were actually a woman but living as a man?
I believed it.
How did
I believed what I lived. It's just like you believe what you live, like I believe what I live now. I believe I had a right to do it. Mm-hmm. I believed I was what I was. I wasn't hiding, I wasn't sneaking, I wasn't playing it a role. That was me. Mm-hmm. And anyway, like I said, there comes a time in your life that you know you could handle anything. You don't worry about it. And what was someone going to say to me? What were they going to do? My landlord going to come down and say, move out of this apartment because I found out you were a girl? People don't do that kind of thing. They don't walk up to you and say, well, I heard about you. You have to get out. Get away from me. I mean, you just don't do it. People are gutless. Mm-hmm. If you're strong enough to stand up for what you believe in, people will back down from you. Mm. At least they always have from me.
Were you ever discovered?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
When I worked at Goodwill, there was this minister's daughter. She's an older woman. I must have been about 23 at the time. And she must have been about 40, 42, 43, something like that. She liked me. She liked me, and she used to ride the shit out of me. Her name was Meta Bland, I remember. She's probably dead now. She was a spinster. She had never married. She lived with her father and mother until they died, and then she lived with her mother. And she just really took a shine to me. She hated the idea of me and Rita. And since she was my superior, my boss, she used to just get on my goddamn nerves. I wanted to punch her. She always had to have my attention. She always had to be talking to me. So I figured, look, the only way I knew she liked me, the only way I was going to get her off my back was to make out with her, was to, you know, treat her nice so she felt she had my attention. I took her out to dinner once. I asked her, you know, you want to go out to dinner? She said, sure. And we're driving home, and she was showing me where she lived, this countryside. It was pretty nice, because in Pittsburgh they have a lot of what they call lookout points. And you could stand on them and see the entire city over the mountains. They're just beautiful. And we went to one of those lookout points, and we were sitting there, and we got to talk, and I don't even know how it happened. I thought I'd do a sweet thing and kiss her. She wanted to give me a blowjob. I didn't know what to say. Like, I kept telling her, look, it's all right. And she said, I could take care of you. I could take care of you. And she says, I don't want to do anything. I'm afraid I'll get pregnant, but I'll take care of you. I mean, it was just amazing. I was embarrassed. I was both embarrassed. I said, look, finally, by refusing her, I realized I had hurt her feelings. I had hurt her, and I didn't want to do that. So the next day, I thought about it, and I asked her to go for a ride in the afternoon. I figured I gotta tell her. I gotta say something to her. And I told her that afternoon. I told her. I mean, it took like about 2 hours to worm it out of me. I kept saying, it's not what you think. She kept saying, what is it? What is it? What is it? And I said, look, I'm a girl. And she didn't say anything. I says, I didn't want to tell you before because I know it would mean my job, but I've been thinking of leaving anyway. I'm gonna give up school, and I'm going to leave the company, and I can't go on this way. And she didn't say anything. She just sat there for a long time. And then she says, I'm so relieved. And I says, you're relieved? She says, yes. She says, at first I thought there was something wrong with you. And I says, what do you mean? She says, well, I thought that maybe you didn't like women. And I says, you mean you thought I was a fag? She says, yes. She says, I'm just so relieved that you're not. Well, it was all well and good, and that was it. We left as friends. The end of the week, I quit my job. She gave me a book of poetry. And I never saw her again.
Did you feel you had to quit?
No, I wanted to quit. It was getting a little too much for me. I was, there was a problem in my life that was getting a little too much for me. And I couldn't carry on with the job and carry on with this. And anyway, I wanted to come back home. or go somewhere. I wanted to get out of town. And I knew the job had to go. It was getting serious with Rita. I was having one hell of a problem with Rita. She wanted to get married. Mm. And I stalled her and her family. I mean, her old man was beginning to, you know, I had a shotgun. And her mother was kind of getting on my nerves, wondering why I wouldn't get married. I guess everybody thought I was a fag.
Mm.
Because I kept shying away from marriage with this girl. And then the Reverend started having talks with me. Lee, is there anything wrong? I mean, you and Rita seem to be getting on so good. Is there someone else? And I couldn't handle it. I couldn't marry this girl.
Oh, God. Did you worry that, what was the woman's name that you told your boss?
Meta,
did you worry that she would betray you?
Did she want me to go around telling everybody she tried to give me a blowjob? That's how she knew. I knew she wouldn't betray me.
Uh-huh. Huh. So that's the only time you were found out in this period.
Yeah.
So that means, really, in that case, you really fessed up that you never hit a situation where someone suspected you were a woman. Wow.
I never had any problem now.
Hmm. And how, when you came, what was the reason that after you left New Orleans, when you came to Pittsburgh, that you chose to pass, continue this?
Because they were still looking for Barbara.
I see. Uh-huh.
I mean, she was only 16 then. It would have been 5 years until she was 21.
Right. I thought that was it. I just wanted to hear it to make sure that was it.
I mean, for all those years, she lived as my wife, my name. She had to. And then by then, I kind of liked it. It was nice. It was a sham. It was a game, and I'm a real game player. I was playing a game of the world, a bunch of fools that were losing. They didn't even know it.
What kind of advantages did you think you got?
Oh, it wasn't advantages. I often thought that if I ever had to, I had fantastic credit, I had a fantastic reputation, which I took full advantage of both when I had to get out of town. I could take out all these loans, go buy all this stuff and simply disappear. I never existed. Which, that happened. I bought a car. Unfortunately, when I left town, my car wasn't paid for. Once I got here to Buffalo, I couldn't send them the money because I knew the cops were looking for me at the time and they would have tracked me down. So I had to leave them stuck with the bill, which I thought a friend of mine would pay because he had the dough. I thought he'd pay it off. But apparently he got mad because I lit out on the whole thing and ran away instead of stay there and faced it. So he never paid them. And about 7 or 8 years later, they looked me up, Seaboard Finance.
Ooh.
For a lousy $500. Christ, I had to pay them back. See, this took them like 7 years. They kept looking for a guy. Well, I didn't have to pay him everything back. I started paying him, and then I got in touch with a lawyer, and I fought it.
Uh-huh.
Because they were looking for a man.
Right.
They were not looking for a woman.
Uh-huh.
And the lawyer went before a judge and got it straightened out. He said, Your Honor, he said, they don't even know what the hell they're looking for. First they're looking for a man, then they're looking for a woman, and then my client went before the manager, and he said he can't identify her, and because I swore it was two different people.
Mm-hmm.
They can't produce the car. They don't know the license plate number. There's no record the car was ever re-registered here in New York. Because at the time, I knew they'd be looking for that car. I hid it in my sister's garage. And then when I got to know the sheriff of Buffalo at the time, I talked to him and he got rid of it for me.
Oh, that was lucky. Do you think, as you look back on this period of your life, are there any regrets? Do you think there's anything you lost or any kind of hardships you suffered from having to pass as a man?
No. Yes, I look back on my entire life. The only thing I regret is that I can't do it again. It's the only thing I regret. And I'm no longer young. I'll never live those things again. I'll never have those experiences. I wish I could have savored them. Every one of them.
Is there something important that that experience taught you, living as a man, that you think we should know about?
No. Not
this is, wait, we're over.